We believe life is precious. This is it. We've got one shot at this. It's on us to live life to the fullest, to maximize what we've been given, and play the game of life at our full potential.
Are you living up to your potential? Are you frustrated that despite your best intentions, you just can't seem to make the changes needed to take things to the next level so you can impact your career, relationships, and health?
If this is hitting home, you're in the right place. Our mission is to open the door to the exceptional life by showing you how to play the game of life at a higher level, so you're playing at your full potential rather than at a fraction as most people do. We'll share the one thing that once we learned it, our lives were transformed. And once you learn it, watch what happens.
Welcome to Think It Be It, the podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So, Kelly, today the topic is, why are only 2% of people thriven? You know, we know this to be true, but let's examine why that's the case. And, you know, I'll tell you how I first came to understand this and how it fits in with you and me. You know, back, I don't know, 5 years ago, I go and see Darren Hardy, who I perceived as the top expert in the world on success. And so I wanted to show him what I'd created and see what he thought about this 12-minute day technique. And so I write a big check. Ginger goes with me, and we go out to California and spend 3 days with him. And, you know, so there's a point where we sit down, and I show him the template and explain it to him. And he goes, John, people are going to spend 12 minutes a day on this. And of course, I'm like, well, how can that be, Darren? You know, at 25X my income, at the Time Magazine did a cover story on the science behind it. We're applying the central concept of the top book of the world on success. What do you mean they're not going to spend 12 minutes a day on this? He goes, John, you know, you're just getting into the success business. He says, I'm just telling you, for most people, more success is merely a preference. Merely a preference. And he says, yo, that's how it is for 98% of the people. He says, only 2% are really driven and will embrace that. And you know, of course, I thought, well, you know, everybody wants to be more successful. How can that be? Well, that can be because it's, yes, they want to be more successful, but it's barely a preference. And then probably 2 years later, I meet you, and you and I start sharing this with the world, and we find exactly that. Most of the people aren't interested in really being more successful, which to you and I is mind-blowing, right?
Yeah,
and, absolutely. And so that sort of sets up this discussion, but I'm sort of curious, why do you think only 2% of people are driven? And do you agree with that?
I agree with that. And you know what's interesting is part of the reason why I understand that better now, A, is having gone through the experience that we went through.
Right.
You know, but B, the science and now what I understand about the brain science answers the question about why only 2% of people are driven. And so, you know, in terms of our subconscious,
right,
and the stories we've told ourselves, the environments we've grown up in, you know, people's ability, we've talked about this before, where something happens and people stop dreaming. They get on the treadmill of life, they lower their standards and expectations, and, you know, again, that subconscious then that isn't set up for success is the reason why more people aren't driven. And so for me, the science answered that question for me. I'm like, well, no wonder we're having trouble, you know, getting people to connect or to be more driven. And for this to connect with more people is because of exactly what we teach, which is how the human mind works.
But, you know, that didn't affect you. It didn't affect me.
But I'm part of the 2%.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I think that there are those people who turn... Like, you know, for me, like if I saw something that was contrary. Like, so for example, let me use something, let's say related to money. From a very early age, I remember knockdown, drag out fights with my parents over money. My mom having to ask my dad for money. And thinking, I am never going to be in a situation where I'm being controlled by money.
Right.
From anyone. And so that was just something that was intrinsically part of, and from a very young age, I remember seeing that as a very young girl and going, nobody's ever going to tell me what I can't and can't spend my money on. And I'm never going to have to ask with my tail between my legs for money.
Right. You
know? And so that was my response. Whereas some people might look at that and then model their relationships and things up, like the story that they then tell themselves is, oh, well, women are, you know, subservient or whatever the case may be, however you want, whatever, however you want to define that, whatever, then that's the story you carry with you through adulthood that molds, you know. So I think it's to how you, the stories that you assign or the meaning that you assign the stories in your life help form that subconscious. And I was always really good at seeing the thing that was like, ugh, you know, I had a brother who was addicted to drugs. And I was like, I see that the havoc that that wreaks, I have no interest in that. I'm running in the opposite direction of that.
Right. Right.
You know, but then there are some people who see that are part of that environment and who have that history of addiction and choose to go that route. And it's one time and they're on that track. So I think for to answer why the 2%, that started at a very young age for me. So I think there's something that's intrinsically, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think that one thing I've come to grasp over the last few years is that everybody is just a product of their genetics plus what has come in their consciousness to this point. That's what makes everybody up. And, you know, there's something I think in your genetics and my genetics that just causes us to want to excel and want to grow and won't accept anything less, you know. And, you know, I'll tell you something that's interesting. So one of our clients, who his name is Steve Pendergrass, and I've taught him Think It Be It over the last few months, and he is phenomenal. And so as now he's learned the methodology, he calls it a cohort group of, I think, 5 different people that he's teaching Think It Be It to. And I let him use our course, you know, and so off he goes. And he told me this weekend, he says, you know, one of the guys in the group would not really do the homework. And he says that he asked him, he says, well, I was too busy. Well, Steve goes, you're too busy? What the hell are you talking about? What's more important than your life, than taking your life and creating clarity about it? And going to the next level. What the hell are you talking about? You're too busy. Well, you know, I'm like, good for you, Steve. Good for you. But then I was also seeing, because I've had that inclination with people too, but now the difference between him, you know, he's 33 and I'm at my advanced age. And, you know, the difference is I'm like, oh, okay, you're too busy. Well, I'm done with you. You know, I'm not going to change you by confronting you like Steve is. Although, again, I admire that Steve did it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, I won't be changing this young man. You know, I'm just done with him. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why when I teach Think It Be It, I vet them hard to make sure that it's not a waste of time and they're not, quote unquote, too busy. But, you know, that's true. And, you know, I've seen this in other cases where, you know, I would teach Think It Be It to people that for one reason or another were interested, but not totally interested. And what a waste that is. And, but I am just puzzled by why in this world only 2% of people are driven. I mean, I don't, other than, you know, that it's, they're just made that way. It's just, I don't understand why.
I have a little thing I want to tack on. I have a little track I want to go down to see if we, and the reason why this is top of me mind for me right now is that I'm reading this book called Worthy by Jamie Kern Lima. And I was reflecting on, remember when you were leading that men's group and you did a presentation or worked with them in a couple, and you were surprised at the things that they had coming up about self-worth.
Oh, yeah.
About just being deserving. And I wonder, too, that one of the things that Jamie says, and I'm going to murder this saying, but she says, like, your success is going to be equivalent to what you feel you're worthy of.
Right.
And so, you know, when we're talking about these stories and these things that we tell ourselves and what our subconscious is made of, like, if you don't feel like you're worthy or, you know, and I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this, then you're going to be less driven. If you don't, you're only going to perform to the level you feel you're worthy of attaining, the success, your level, you know, that you're worthy again of attaining. And so I wonder if that plays. As I read further into this book, I'm not finished with it yet. I think it answers this question to some degree too. And I think it, even on another level now, with the degree that social media is playing and the validation that people seek externally from other people for self-worth and things along those lines, whether we're having a crisis of that happening now too, and you're seeing those numbers of that 2% being impacted even more greatly by that. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? In reflecting, I was thinking about your group and these men who are successful business owners and having issues with that and not successful to the degree that they could be.
Well, yeah, I think there is something to it. You know, I mean, you know, one thing you and I learned is that the person that's going to do think it be it has to demand of themselves to play the game of life at their full potential, you know, and that's not everybody, you know, I mean, some people, a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't have to play at my full potential, you know. And then other people, a few other people were like, oh, absolutely. That's who I am. I'm playing that. You're like that. I'm like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember, I think I told you this before, you know, I got a brother that's 9 years younger than me. And I remember when he was born, going to the hospital, looking at all those babies and thinking how precious life is, you know, how each one of them is a life. Mm-hmm. And now, how that's played out over the last 3 years, yeah, I've had a new grandbaby each of the last 3 years. And every time that literally it's happened each of the three times, we go over to Hannah's house the day after birth and they give me the baby and I hold the baby and I just cry, literally cry from just holding that baby, thinking how precious life is and mm-hmm. how that kid's going to live to be 100 and all the things they're going to go through. But it gets back to what you're saying about being worthy of and appreciating how precious your life is, right?
Yeah. Yep. No, 100%. It was funny when you brought this topic up today, that was one of the things I immediately thought of about that 2% of driven, because I'm like, there's a direct connection into the way people feel about themselves and whether they feel they're worthy of bringing new things into their life.
And, well, you know, the more you mention it, the more I think you're right. I mean, over my life, I've seen people with self-worth issues and I know how I was. I'm like, man, I deserve the best that life has to offer. I deserve it. Why wouldn't I deserve it? I mean, everybody deserves it. You know, what do you mean you don't deserve it? You know, it's interesting, from dating longer than anybody on the planet, you know, I've had more. I studied the female psyche for years, Kelly. and in a few cases, I did see, you know, self-worth issues, you know. I'm like, wow, you know, and obviously that's coming from childhood.
Yep. Traumas, things along those lines that sent the message to people.
Right.
That sends the message that says, and it doesn't even have to be that. It can be, you know, the first time that you know the answer to something, but you shrink and you don't raise your hand. And you know what I mean? You start to slowly subliminally send yourself the message that like, oh, maybe what I'm saying isn't that important, or somebody else, like you're already starting to diminish yourself. So there's that. It could be trauma. It could be where like literally you went through something that devalued you as a human, you know, that you're carrying with you, you know?
Well, you know, I tell you, one thing I have learned as I've gotten older is to not get your self-worth from what other people say or think.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why I love teaching Think It Be It at the University of Texas, because, you know, all my gratification comes internally. I know how it's going to impact their lives. They don't even know it as they're getting it, but I know how it will impact their lives. And that's all the kudos I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't expect the world to tell me how great I am. You know, my satisfaction comes internally. And I think that's a lesson for everybody, really, to create a life where you get what you think matters way more than what other people think.
Yeah.
You know?
Nope. Agreed.
You know, the other thing I've oftentimes thought about is if only 2% of the population is driven, you know, God made it this way. And the human species is wired for survival. And if God made the species so that only 2% of the people are driven, he did that because if you had more than 2%, that would hurt the survival of the species. Mm-hmm. That something, there's something about, it just works at 2%. And so I think the lesson is, are you in the 2%? That's the question I think you have to ask yourself. And how precious do you value your life? And how do you feel about your self-worth? To me, that's the real question. And, you know, if you answer the question that, man, I think my life is precious and I'm worthy of everything that life has to offer, then, boy, you are a great candidate for Think It Be It. But if you don't feel that way for whatever reason, you're not, because, you know, it really, that's the evolution for us is we realize it's not for the 98%.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, on that note, we've fully explored this concept. And and if you're listening, if you have any ideas to enlighten us further, email us. But until next time, we'll see you.
Thanks for listening today. If you've had your own aha moment from today's episode, send me or John an email. We'd love to share your epiphany with our audience. So email us at kelly@thinkitbeit.com or john@thinkitbeit.com. In the meantime, live the exceptional life.